Let's turn our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John is a wonderful book. Praise the Lord. There's great truths there. It's different from the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, dealt with the life and the teachings of Jesus and the works of Christ and what he did. But the book of John is more of, the others are called Synoptic Gospels. This one is more theological. It speaks of who Jesus is and reveals him as the Son of Man and the Son of God, and not another religious figure, but the Son of God. John bears it out continually throughout his book. And he reveals the deity of Christ. That Christ wasn't just a good man with a good set of religious laws. Jesus was and is deity. He is equal with God the Father. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is equal with all the Trinity. Praise the Lord. And John deals a lot with the contrast of darkness and light. And of course, darkness meaning sinful things, and light meaning spiritual things, that God has opened the eyes or shed light upon the human race to give it salvation. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, or through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And it was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that through him, all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which gives light to every man who coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the blood, or not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, I thank you for your Word today. I thank you, God, for your presence and your Holy Spirit here. And we ask, God, your anointing upon your servant to deliver the truth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We'll entitle the message today, The Creator. And I believe these verses speak of the Creator, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father were all active in creation. And so the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you see the Holy Spirit there even in creation. And so we find here that Christ was the Creator. Amen. And in the beginning, here we find in Scripture, it says, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was and is God, and he's not less than God. He is part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But John says here, in the beginning was the Word. The Word here refers to Christ, the eternal Word, Greek logos, meaning thought, word, or concept. And it says here, the Word was God. Notice in that first verse, the Word was the Word. The Word was God. Or the Word was with God. Those three things. And so we find that in the beginning, before there ever was any of the earth and the world as we know it today, Jesus was always God. And so we find the only beginning that Jesus ever had was in humanity. And he didn't come before many others. He always was man. And his only beginning was in humanity when he was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. But he's always been and always will be God. He's eternal. We believe in his virgin birth, his sinless life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his bodily resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and his soon return in the clouds of heaven. And so his only beginning was in humanity, but Jesus never started anywhere. He began an earthly ministry, but he always existed. He was always eternally with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. and were the dateless past, and there is no date because he never started anywhere. And it's hard for us to comprehend, but he didn't. He didn't start anywhere. And so he's the only beginning was in humanity. But God chose to come to earth, and God chose to send his son, and God chose to make a plan of redemption for lost and sinful humanity. And I'm glad that he did. And so we cannot get away from that. That Jesus came. God sent his only begotten son, his only in the world. Amen. And the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion like a man, he became obedient unto the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, if we can just grab hold of that, God did all he did to come down to humanity, to where we are. He didn't have to, but he did. It was always in the Father's plan, and always knew that that's what he was supposed to do. So Jesus came to this earth, the one that created, that spoke the worlds into existence, that spoke planets into existence. Amen. That spoke Mars into existence. Man didn't live in there, and if you hadn't figured that out, I think you have. But God spoke everything into existence. His powerful word created the world that we now live in, created the atmosphere, created everything that was capable of supporting human life. And Jesus did all that, and he is the creator. And yet the creator condescended to humanity to become one of us. Amen. Not sinful us, but one of us in humanity. And saying goes, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become sons of God. And so we can, by new birth, we can become children of God. And so Jesus' only beginning he had was in humanity. But Jesus also is a creator. And all things came into existence through him. Hebrews 1:1 says, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past the Father by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. And God has spoken by his Son. And so Christ is the creator. And the first thing that God created was light. And so light comes by Christ, spiritual light does. We know that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And that was before the sun and the moon were created. But there was a spiritual light in the sense of the glory of God that was there before sun and moon were created. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And God gives light of salvation and revelation of himself throughout the world as people listen. Amen. And so he is the creator of all things. Jesus created, Father, Son, Holy Spirit created angels and all the hosts that are with them. And Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. Okay, so we know that God created all these things, and God created multitudes of angels. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was dying on the cross, or would die on the cross, you know, they tried to resist before his execution. The disciples did, and Jesus said, do you not know that now I could call and God would send 10 legions of angels and to set me free? But it was not God's plan. It was God's plan that he pay the price for our salvation. And so God created all these things, and God has authority to do anything. God could speak right now and completely annihilate the earth if he wanted to. His word is powerful, created. Amen. And His Word is powerful enough to bring the message of hope to people that are beyond, that don't know anything about God. But when the name of Jesus is preached and the gospel message is preached around this world in any nation, tribe, language, or tongue where the truth is revealed, I want to tell you it has succeeded in bringing people to salvation, deliverance from sin, and giving them eternal hope and eternal life instead of what the devil had to offer, which was nothing. Praise the Lord. And so He's the Creator. And only God could have created such things. And I've just been to the Grand Canyon. I would have stayed there, but I was afraid to jump. No. But the beauty and breathtaking view of the Grand Canyon reveals the Creator. Explanations of science and evolution seem so foolish. We heard them. But only God could have created such as you see there. Psalms 92 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Literally, from eternity to eternity, thou art God. What wondrous revelations await you and I as we share God's eternity, and He's chosen us to share His eternity. Because He loves us. And so, how great is our God? And the Bible reveals all rivers, oceans, and boundaries assigned by God. They have boundaries, or else they would again flood the earth and consume the world. But God has set boundaries for the ocean and the seas. In Job 26 and 10, it says, "He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters, at the boundary of light and darkness." Those boundaries. And speaking of the oceans and the seas, Psalms 104 and 9 says, "You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, they may not return to cover the earth." God also has boundaries for people. Acts 17:26, "He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." How great is this God? We cannot describe the greatness of God fully. We have to see Him and be with Him forever. And we will forever learn of God as we spend eternity with Him, because He's eternal. And you know, we think it's really something because mankind has gone to the moon. And thank God, you know, that God allowed us to do that, go to the moon. You know, that's one of many moons. And several planets have more than one moon. We just got one that we know of. But yet God in His greatness has made all things. Praise the Lord. His greatness is further demonstrated in the book of Job. Job's not a very fun book to read until you get to the latter part of it. Because Job had some really hard things. He went through a very enduring trial, a very hard trial. And people may criticize him, and I heard somebody criticize him, but my friend, if we'd have been through what Job went through, he probably did good compared to us. Amen. But it says about the greatness of God in Job 38:3, it says, "Now prepare yourself like a man." And God is speaking to Job here. And He says, "I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know." "Or whose search stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened?" Now God's asking Job these questions. "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb. When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors and said, 'This far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop.'" You think God doesn't have control? He does have control of this whole earth, all of this world. Amen. And I can tell you, He knows every detail of your heart and your life, and He's able to help you. He's able to direct you. He thinks about things that you've never thought about before, and He knows what you're thinking before you thought them. You say, well, nobody can be that knowledgeable. Yes, He can. He created the brain that you got in your skull right now, and science has never completely figured out the brain. I've been trying to figure out mine and some others, but I haven't. But God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. He is a powerful, mighty God, and yet this God cared about you and I. Amen. And He does. He loves us. So God's created the boundaries, but He created mankind, and the Bible tells us about that. And God said, let us create man in our image. Notice the pronouns, us and our, they're talking about the Trinity. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now there's things that God created I don't understand. I don't know why He created fire ants. But who am I to question God? I'm nobody to question God. Man. But God created mankind in His own likeness and His own image. And God created mankind with a moral and a spiritual likeness that you and I need. And we're created a spiritual as well as a physical being. But He created mankind with a need for a creator. And not just to know that God created all things, but we need the creator to be personal and at home where we are. And He does. We didn't go up to Him, He came down to us. God created mankind for a need for spiritual light and for a need with a need for communication with the Creator. Amen. And so when I read Genesis 1 till I get to about the third chapter, that I like it pretty well. But in the third chapter, mankind fell and things went south, sour then. I guess south is not good, but anyway, it went. Anyway, sin entered the human race. But before that, Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. They communicated with God in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says they walked with God in the cool of the day. There was unhindered fellowship with God. There was no sin in the world at that time. They had no sin nature. Amen. They communicated with the Creator. They could hear. They could talk to God. God could talk to them. There was nothing in between them and God, and they could communicate with God. But we know all of that stopped when Adam and Eve sinned, made the choice to partake of the forbidden fruit that God had told them not to. And He said, in the day that you eat thereof of this forbidden fruit, that day you will surely die. And they began dying when they partook of the forbidden fruit. They began dying physically, and they died spiritually. They died in their relationship with God. They could no longer be in the Garden of Eden with God anymore. They could no longer communicate with Him. And so it severed their relationship. But even in the book of Genesis, it starts out, God already had a plan in mind to redeem us, to buy us back from sin, and to give us eternal hope instead. And so God made a plan of redemption. And so God, you and I were created for fellowship and relationship with our Creator. And all relationships must have communication. You know, if your husband and wife didn't communicate this morning, just realize you need it. But the world searches over through religion, through accumulation of wealth, possessions, to fill the void in people's lives. But that place in humanity is reserved for God and can be filled with nothing else. And when the people go and they search for happiness and for peace of mind in this, that, or in the other, or whatever they may buy, or whatever idea they may come up with, still there's an empty void, a hollow in man's heart that's never filled and cannot be filled with anybody but God. And we see the world worship many things, many gods, and sports, and things like that, of that nature. And there's nothing wrong with football, but it can never fill the void in your heart that God does. I was watching a comical thing one time. It was about it showed a film of all the times that coaches got mad at referees in football games. Oh, my goodness. And one time a coach got so mad at one of the referees, he picked up a football and handed it to him and said, "This is a football." Another one says, "You know what NFL stands for?" He says, "Not for long if you make those kind of calls." So a lot of things. But people try to fill a void in their life. And millions of dollars are spent on that game every year right here in our own nation. But there's people in the National Football League that are Christians that love God and live for God. And I will call your attention to one, the late Coach Tom Landry of the Dallas Cowboys. And I heard him interviewed one time. He was asked, "What the most important thing in your life?" And he said everybody would have guessed football. But he boldly said, Tom Landry, he said, "The greatest and most important thing in my life is my relationship with Jesus Christ." Thank God for somebody, man, that will stand for, we need more of them kind. Praise the Lord. But church, we know Christ fills the void in our life, and his word is good news to us. It's good news to the world, and we must fill the earth with this news that mankind can be reconciled to God. He can have a right relationship with God. He can love God. He can serve God, and he may not can see God physically with the eyes, but you can know that he's present just as you've known he's present today. Hallelujah. We can know that his spirit is with us. Praise the Lord. And so, just like the earth was without form and void before it was created, people's lives without God are without form and void. The word void means empty. And so God is able to bring us into fellowship with him. He is the creator. And Christ is light, not darkness. Man cannot produce love, hope, peace, security. God gives it when we ask for it. Praise the Lord. And Christ is light, not darkness. In John's day, there was very little spiritual light, but a lot of man-made rules that were announced as righteous and necessary for salvation. It's never stopped. It continues today. And Jesus talked to the people, and the people that he was around, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever else you see. But he talked to them because they were so outwardly religious but inwardly corrupt. And Jesus spoke and said one place, he says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the concepts or the commandments of men." And I've seen that all through my life. If you'll live by our rules and do exactly what we say, you know, then somehow you might make it to heaven and be at peace with God someday. But let me tell you something. The only way we can be at peace with God and be right with God and be accepted by God is to accept what his son did on the cross for our sins. And if you take that away, you've got nothing else. You've got to go by the way of the cross. Amen. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the Old Testament law, then Christ died in vain." I want to tell you, Christ did not die in vain. He died for my sins. He died for yours. He died for our sins because nobody could keep the full Old Testament law completely. But Jesus fulfilled all of the law. He's the only one that ever did. He lived the perfect righteousness of the law, and by faith in his righteousness is given to us. And God sees us through the perfection and the righteousness of his only Son. That's the only way that God can stand to look at me or you. Amen. And so, Christ is light, not darkness. Let me tell you what darkness is. I watched in Pat Robinson brought this brother in that brought a Christian, a believer in, and one of the African countries that is strongly persecuted by the Islamics. And this particular man, he was not the one that was on TV, but he was, but his relative was there, and it was his wife. She said the Islamic people told him to deny Christ completely, to curse Christ, to die, denying completely, and he would not. So they cut off one of his arms at the elbow. And then they shouted, "Now deny Christ." He said, "I'll never deny Jesus Christ." They shot and killed him right there. That is darkness, my friend. Spiritual darkness. But yet, today, we in America have such spiritual light here in our own country, but still allow darkness to invade our homes, our businesses, our schools many times. Why do people let the darkness of sin in when the sin can do no good? When has committing adultery ever helped a marriage? When has stealing something ever helped a person get rich? When has bearing false witness against a neighbor, lying about somebody's character, when has that ever helped anything? You can name all the Ten Commandments you want to, and none of breaking any of them has never helped anybody do anything. It's because darkness covers our world, and sin covers our world. In John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world," speaking of Jesus, "and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." And I've seen people, you've seen people, you work with people that love darkness. They love to boast about what sinful things they did the night before or the weekend or whatever, and who they did sinful things with. Or people do that, they like to spout off about the darkness. I was working with a man one time, and he claimed to be a Christian. Then he started talking about when he went down the south of the border to Mexico and how that he was with some prostitute down there, and he was just bragging about what a great time he had. Don't try to tell me you're a Christian and that's good. No, man, God saved us from that. But he loved darkness. He loved to brag about it. But it says in John 3:20, "Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed." Man, when I was a kid and I was doing something I didn't want mother and daddy to see, I'd hide somewhere so they couldn't see me. You say, were you ever that way? I'll ask you, were you ever that way? Of course. But Jesus exposed evil and sin wherever he went. His very presence there, and when he spoke, it convicted people, and people didn't like it. Amen. As a matter of fact, they become so offended by Jesus' words, the religious people crucified him. But Jesus spoke and said, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." If you read Matthew 23, I want to tell you, he didn't have very good words to say for the scribes and the Pharisees. He said to them, "You're like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautifully outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So Jesus preached very strong words to them. And so they loved darkness instead of light. But I want to tell you, Jesus came to be the light. As a matter of fact, in one place he said, "I am the light of the world." Amen. And he came to save people. He even came to save the people he describes, Pharisees and hypocrites. He even came to save them. And he even came to save you and me. Amen. And so the Bible tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things that are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, "Wake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Praise the Lord. And so Jesus exposed sin, but Jesus also gave life and paid the ultimate price, that even those that cursed him at the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And God can save. And Jesus shed his blood for the most wretched sins that we can think about, because he loved us. And I'm glad that he did. Praise the Lord.